Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill, and it's Wednesday.
Good God,
can I start
y'all.
Over? I'm just going to start over. Hi,
Bill,
everybody.
Left, take two.
It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. It didn't start out well, but it'll end a lot better, I have a feeling. Big show today. We're going to talk about the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. Ron Romero and Skip Gripparis will be by later on to talk about that. Dean Richards will tell you what movies to see and which to avoid this weekend. And I just want to say, Jasmine wasn't here yesterday. She was off shooting a TV show. And my fear was is that she'd come back and have a big attitude. And it's no bigger than it used to be. It's the exact same size attitude that she always had.
You were on the morning jam or something. What were
yes,
you?
WCIU's The Jam.
With John Hanson. You know John Hanson?
Yes.
Who fills in for Steve sometimes on the Wintrust Business Lunch? He's got a show. And what is the show about? We're working, Jazz. We don't get to see the show. What is it about?
It's just basically like a week wrap-up of what's going on in Chicago and things like that.
So and
like
you guys are going show. On. You're part of the Chicago Spirit Brigade? Is that what it is?
Well, they were on already.
Right.
They were on yesterday.
The Chicago Spirit Brigade.
But she's still currently part a member.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And it went well?
It went awesome.
What'd they have you do?
We did a couple of cheers. We danced with John. He really has a lot of rhythm.
Who hasn't danced with John? Come on.
Whose idea was that? John's idea or somebody else's idea?
It was technically my idea, but he was down with it. So he actually got jiggy. With
he
us on
did.
Yeah.
Did
was
he
fun.
Dance
was
or cheer or both?
He had a little pom pom too. I forgot to add as well.
He always
a
does.
Chicago Spirit Brigade jacket.
Oh,
but it was fun.
Oh, do you think more TV is something you'd want to pursue then?
I don't know about that. I missed you guys.
Oh,
I really
well,
did.
Thank you. We missed you.
Is this your thing today, Bill?
Is this my thing?
Why aren't you working in TV?
I did ask you that earlier too. Didn't
why?
I?
What did Bertrand do?
I just walked in. He goes, "Why aren't you in TV?"
I don't know.
That's what you'd be. You'd want to do that, don't you?
TV?
Yeah.
No.
I hate TV. I love to watch it.
I don't hate it. Like anytime there's an opportunity for you and I to appear somewhere on TV, I see you get all white. You get very pale. Like that, like what the noise you just made is what you look like.
That's anytime, why I got into radio.
Like sometimes WGN TV Morning News goes, "Hey, why don't you guys come on? We're doing this. We'd love to have you guys on." And I just see you go, "Oh, no.
I do it.
I can't. I don't want to."
And again, I have anticipatory anxiety because once I'm doing it, like in the middle of it, I'm fine. It's just the apprehension because I'm not comfortable on TV. I don't like my big head on, especially with this HD TV, man.
Your head is human size, though.
I know.
Not bigger or smaller than most humans' heads.
Yeah, but the HD TV
shows everything.
Yeah,
yeah
I mean,
does.
You know.
Every blemish, every mole.
Right.
Every mustache zit. Hair.
Why don't they use, they'll do like a Vaseline lens. They use this on Sybil Shepherd when she was doing moonlighting.
Oh, yeah, that you're right.
Right? So why don't you say, "I'll do it. I'll be on your show, but you got to use the Sybil Shepherd lens on me."
They'd say, "Sorry,
they
we'll find someone else."
No, they all they have that ability. They can soften you. You know,
I don't think so. In the day of in this day of technology, I don't. Because then people would call and go, "Your signal's bad."
They would do it as you know. I'm a fan of The View, Wendy. And for years, when they would cut to Barbara Walters' angle, it was a softer lens. Like when they'd show everybody else, it was regular. Oh, there's that lady's on TV now. But then when they cut to Barbara Walters, it was really kind of soft.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is she now? What is she doing?
Retired. She's retired.
How could she just completely be out of the limelight?
I don't know. But some people just, they adapt very quickly to that.
What would you do if you were to retire tomorrow, if you all of a sudden got a major windfall?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Well,
I mean, what would your...
Lobster fisherman, of course. That day, I would become a lobster fisherman.
I don't know what
I'd
do.
Dream.
I couldn't. I'd get a job at Trader Joe's because I couldn't just sit around.
And she was on that client list in 2012.
What's that?
I don't know. It was some show with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Well, I don't remember that show at all. What was that?
It's a weird combo.
It was a film, actually.
Barbara
television
Walters
film.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No, I thought we were talking about Sybil Shepherd.
Oh, Sybil Shepherd.
Oh, no.
All right, that makes sense.
Barbara Walters?
Yeah, we switched gears.
Oh, sorry. I kind of missed that. I was looking up Sybil Shepherd.
I'm like, I don't recall the two of them working together.
The producers, this is a great show, but only one woman could carry this. Well, we already have Jennifer Love Hewitt. I know we have Jennifer Love Hewitt, but we need Barbara Walters. That'll sell this show.
Really, because...
But that's what we were talking about, is Barbara Walters retired, and she really, truly retired.
She hasn't shown up anywhere. All right, so the king of this was Johnny Carson, who, when he retired, he goes, you're still going to see me, I'm going to do specials, I'm going to be everywhere, and then you didn't. But then Letterman, who you thought would just kind of fade away...
He did for a little while,
but he keeps showing up everywhere now.
I'm loving that show he has on Netflix.
Yeah.
Our next guest needs no introduction.
Yeah, it's really good.
Or something similar to that, if that's not the title of it.
You know what's good is that it's... Of course, it's the same format of I'm a guy asking you questions and you're going to answer the question. I mean, it's a talk show, but it's so different. The tone of it is so different from his regular show.
Oh, completely.
You know?
He's much more serious. He has some laid back moments. It was very funny when one of my favorites is the Howard Stern interview. It was really good. And Howard starts talking and interviewing him.
Yeah.
You know, and we get more information. And then all of a sudden, Dave's like, wait a minute, I'm the one that's supposed to be asking the questions here.
Right.
But he's very, like, formal, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
It's kind of weird to see him like that.
It's a different version of him. I like to see it. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and It's Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Later on, Ron Romero and Skip Kouperis will be by to talk about the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. We had them on a couple months ago, and we will have them on again. Speaking of music, really quick... You were the first person yesterday during the bonus hour. You broke the news that the halftime show at this year's Super Bowl will probably be Maroon 5. No one's really confirming it as of this morning, but somehow it got leaked that it looks like it's going to be Maroon 5.
Disappointed.
You were a little bit disappointed. I'm very happy about it, but last night I went to a couple of different websites where this was a main topic of discussion. And for the most part, people were none too pleased that Maroon 5 was going to get the nod on this. Why? I like them.
They're just okay.
Just okay?
I love Adam Levine on The Voice. Has it been solved? Is Kelly Clarkson back on The Voice? I know that was a controversy on the morning show.
I'm not sure.
We need to find out.
I'm not sure.
They're just...
They've been around for over 20 years now. I mean...
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean they're good.
Well,
they have to be kind of good to make it that long, don't they?
All right, let me put it this way. They're fine.
Yeah.
It's just not my style of music.
You were hoping for whom? If they said... If the NFL called you and said, Wendy, the ball's in your court, you decide who's going to do the halftime show, you would pick?
I don't even care anymore.
You wouldn't care?
I don't know who it should be.
You'd hang up on them.
Paul McCartney.
He's done it.
He has?
Yeah. Did a nice job. Plus, that would be too controversial after his statements about John Lennon. The NFL doesn't want any more controversy, Wendy. They're done with controversy.
What did he say about John Lennon?
Well, something that they did together when they were younger.
Yeah.
So it's in GQ. You got to read it.
Yeah.
You don't know about
Steve,
this?
Steve, it'll startle you.
No.
We saved it for the stream. No pun intended.
It'll shake you to your core.
Well, what is it?
How do I say it politely?
I don't know. Go ahead, though.
They were self-amorous together.
Not to each other.
No, I didn't say that.
You know what self means.
Yeah. And amorous.
They were in the same room with a couple of other people.
Yeah. There was a party at John Lennon's house.
Oh,
where
it was a party.
John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and a couple of John Lennon's friends all pleasured themselves together.
You mean like played Nintendo?
Yeah. Like played Nintendo. Well, there were joysticks involved, okay, but that's as far as I can go.
Okay, well,
yeah,
you really didn't hear about that?
No, I'm sorry,
it was a fairly big story about it. Was it a week ago that we found this out?
Yeah, it came out in GQ.
Yes. All right, so you don't. If they called you, you don't care. You would just flat out say to the NFL, "I don't care. Put anybody in there." But you were not happy at all with the decision that it would be Maroon 5.
It's just meh.
Yeah?
It's not like they're, you know, a big stage show.
But
I don't know.
Most of the bands that everybody would agree are gigantic enough to do this job have already kind of done it. They want a turnover. They want to keep bringing in new bands or new performers. And really, the ones that are gigantic, they've all done it.
And it's a weird thing, too. I loved when The Who did it. A lot of people were saying, boy, they're old. I thought they were great. But it takes a special act to do that halftime show.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Bruno Mars is perfect for it because it's part music, part entertainment.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, oh, the Eagles. I love the Eagles, but I don't know that they'd be a great halftime show. So I'm going Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
Wow. Because Up With People was booked.
There was a time where that was their go-to band,
yeah,
right?
Was,
they would go with Up
year.
With People every year.
Right.
I don't even
How
remember.
Would that play today? What do you think people would say if they just said, if the NFL announced yesterday, we looked at the other bands, we looked at the other performers, and we decided to go back to Up With People? What would the uproar be?
A lot
up
of
with
ups
people?
In there.
I don't like the whole thing, so I would be happy if it went away.
You don't even watch the show, Steve?
Well, it's like...
I'm getting so burnt on it, man.
Yeah, it's just so overly produced and...
But
commercials aren't even that great, and they show them before anyway.
No, I'm talking about the halftime show.
I'm talking about the whole Super Bowl.
I mean, Bruno Mars was good. When Bono opened his jacket in 2012.
That was amazing.
That was incredible.
Prince did a nice job.
Prince was great.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just so overproduced. I don't really care.
I mean, Up With People
fake
is
people
still around.
Standing, you know, fake people standing in the, you know, cheering and stuff.
Mary just said Up With People is still around. We were talking about Barbara Walters, by the way, Mary.
Oh, that's right. Well, you were talking about...
Oh. Sybil Shepherd. No. Let Sybil Shepherd do it.
No. Wouldn't it be funny? Because didn't they always wear like pastel clothes and
yeah.
things like that?
They had a very 70s look, a 60s and 70s look to them.
Well, I don't even
anymore.
Remember them.
Really?
You don't remember them?
No.
They're big chorus sort of group.
Yeah, but now they do dancing and they're like hip hop, and I'm watching a video. They're
Is it the same one? Do they have walkers and things like that?
No,
or?
They're a bunch of young people.
Do you remember which celebrity was somehow involved with Up With People? Not a celebrity at the time, but later became a big celebrity.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
No, Glenn Close.
What?
Remember, she was somehow involved with them. Like her parents were in it, and they got her in it. And it was like a half cult, half music band. Very strange story.
Very scary.
Why aren't you doing the Rona Barrett hour somewhere?
Man, we are stuck.
I mean, really, why aren't you?
Yesterday was ordinary people, not ordinary people. What was it?
What was it? I don't remember what yesterday
was. You know, with
was.
Skip Henderson or whoever, Sarah Purcell.
Oh, Real People?
Real People?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some confusion yesterday as to what was on Real People and what was on That's Incredible. Because they were kind of at the same time.
Yeah, they were very similar.
They had they just went out and found
interesting people. Is Skip Henderson a baseball player by any chance?
No.
Okay, because I don't know. When Steve said that, I thought he was confusing it with a baseball player.
Yeah, I had the wrong name.
Are you thinking of Skitch Henderson?
No, I was thinking of the guy Skip. I just had his wrong name.
Oh, Skip Stevenson.
Yeah, Skip Stevenson.
Right, he was one of the guys on... Now, he was on Real People, right?
With Sarah Purcell.
Yeah. That's Incredible was Fran Tarkenton, John Davidson, and Kathy Lee Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Real People was John Barber, Sarah Purcell, Skip Stevenson, Byron Allen.
Barber? I don't know who
John Barber
is.
He was just, how do I describe him? Just a very average-looking guy, kind of a black comb-over,
I'll look him up.
Mid-40s.
I threw a question out there earlier, and I think John has an answer for us. He called us at 312-981-7200. John, I was curious, is Kelly Clarkson for sure back on The Voice? Because I had heard rumors she was gone.
Yes, Kelly is on The Voice. It starts next week, and they show her in the cast and crew for The Voice.
Good.
Yeah, but she's
Kelly,
also going to have her own talk
the
show.
The usual people, Jennifer Hudson, Kelly Clarkson, Blake.
Well, Alicia
Adam
Keys
Levine.
Has been replaced by Jennifer Hudson, which should be interesting. Alicia Keys, man, she would comment on people's songs and their choices and their talent, mm-hmm. and she was so zen. It was like, that was the most beautiful thing, and I heard birds, and it was lovely, and the sunshine. It was really...
You like that?
Yes. Yeah, it was very helpful, yes.
All right.
Well, John, thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Okay.
But the other thing about Kelly Clarkson that was making the news yesterday is that it's been announced that she's going to have her own talk show.
And that's great.
So she can do both.
Yeah, but they said she was going to be ousted, and John Legend was going to take her place.
Oh. All right.
He wasn't a very good Jesus. I'm sorry. He just really wasn't
it's
a Jesus Christ superstar. I know. He was great, but he didn't...
No halo.
Yeah, and he just, he was John Jesus. Legend being awesome, but he wasn't Jesus awesome.
Really?
In my opinion.
All right.
So you would have had Bob Dylan do it.
Who needs more wine?
Mary, get over here.
I can see your house.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And there is some breaking news that I understand.
In Maryland, Wendy, there have been reports of some shootings.
Well, we're watching the shooting. It's being called an active shooter. There are some reports of three dead and others injured, so it's not clear exactly what's going on just yet.
I have a story out of the Baltimore Sun that was just printed about 10 to 12 minutes ago. Here's what it says. Again, this is according to the Baltimore Sun. Multiple victims were shot at the Rite Aid Distribution Center in Maryland. This, according to officials, multiple people were killed in the shooting at Aberdeen in Hartford County. The Associated Press is reporting. Authorities said a shooting occurred in the area of Perryman Road in Perryman, just outside of Aberdeen, the location of the Enterprise Business Park. Deputies responded at 9:09 a.m., that is Eastern Time. In addition to the Rite Aid warehouse, the business park's tenants are Zenith, Freight Lines, True Air, and Clorox Company. The situation is still fluid. The sheriff's office said officials are urging the people to avoid the area. A media briefing is scheduled for later on, 11:45.
All right. Well, we'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah. Awful story.
And wasn't there a shooting yesterday, too? Four people, including a police officer, shot at Pennsylvania District Judge's office during a domestic hearing.
There was a shooting in Wisconsin.
That's a different one from the one you're reporting, right, Wendy?
Yeah. I mean...
Yep.
Middleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Guy walked into a software company where he worked and shot four people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was shot dead by the police that arrived a few minutes later.
I just have questions about this because security has been heightened at all these office buildings. Although I guess there's no metal detector. I'm not walking through a metal detector when I come in. I'm just fighting with my stupid key card to get the gate open.
Yeah.
And then it beeps.
Yeah.
And no one even comes to check on me.
Yeah, that's strange. There's been a couple incidents downstairs where alarms go off and the security I wouldn't mind a little bit tighter security.
Place, every time the thing... You a lot of times would walk through, I'd swipe my pass and you would walk through right behind me, it would go off. They'd come and look and you'd point to me every single time.
Right. And I would say, this woman is dangerous. I know her. Please have her removed from the building. And they only did half the time. It's not enough.
Wouldn't you feel safer if there was a metal detector in this building?
I've never not felt safe here. Have you?
Well, I try not to think about it, but when these things all start happening,
it wouldn't change my opinion at all. The other day, Sunday, I went to the game at Wrigley, and the line to get through the metal detector was about 12 minutes long, and I thought to myself,
It's totally worth it.
It eats up a lot of time standing in that line, but I'm okay with it.
I just, both my knees are replaced now, so I walk through and I beep every time. So I'm like, two knee replacements. If I'm wearing shorts, it's fine because they can look at the scars.
Yeah.
But they still wand me, and then they're like, yeah,
when you don't have shorts on and the alarm goes off and you just say, I have knee replacements, do they ask for any proof of that?
No, they just take the wand and they go up and down on both knees, and then they're like, okay, go through.
Oh.
I got to be honest with you, I'm not the only one. There are so many people with titanium knees and hips that I imagine that thing goes off a lot.
I'm sure of it. I'm positive. But the way I look at it is, if it makes things safer, I can spend the extra 5, 10, 12 minutes. I'm totally for it. I know. It's an inconvenience, but fine.
And with all these disgruntled workers, and I don't know in these particular instances, but in the past, and I hate to say it, but everybody thinks of that person that you think this person's going to
snap at some point.
Yeah.
Right.
At that point, I'm surprised metal detectors haven't been put in buildings by now.
Well, it's expensive, I mean, that's one of the concerns is who pays for it, because it is. It's expensive to buy them, to maintain them.
Every person who's leasing space here pitch in.
Have to pay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the way to do it.
I'd pitch in. I got 12 bucks on me.
My daughter's high school had metal detectors that the kids had to walk through every day. And I remember asking at one point, do you think about it? And they go, no, that's just part of that's part of the daily routine.
See, and now how long did it take them to get in the school then? Because
it was
almost instantaneous. Really?
Yeah. There was never, from what they told me, never much of a long line.
And they only let them come in one door and they had to walk through that?
No, there were several different. Evanston High School is, I think, the biggest high school in Illinois. It was at one point. I don't know if it still is. And there's several different ways to get in and out of the building. So they had them
at every entrance.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will keep you posted on any further developments. We've got you covered here in the newsroom with Steve Bertrand. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we have an update to a story that we talked about yesterday.
Very controversial. Very controversial.
It's weird that this has become controversial.
With everything that's going on, this isn't the story that should be so controversial, but it is. So, yeah, an update from yesterday.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right, can we talk about something that we brought up yesterday?
Is this an update, Wendy?
Yeah, it's just
for a story from yesterday, yeah?
This is so weird. Okay, we were talking about the Sesame Street writer Mark Saltzman, and he revealed in an interview earlier this week that being the writer for Bert and Ernie, or Ernie and Bert, who gets top
Bert and Ernie.
Okay. He thought of them as gay, and that's how he wrote.
Right.
I might have his exact statement.
He himself is a gay man who said that his relationship, the relationship that he had with his partner, was always on his mind when he wrote for Bert and Ernie. That the same loving relationship that he shared, he wanted Bert and Ernie to share.
He explained, I didn't have any other way to contextualize them, pointing out that his own relationship with his husband was similar to the Sesame Street duo, so I don't think I'd know how else to write them but as a loving couple.
Makes sense.
Well, now he's coming back. You know, Twitter went crazy about this. This was major controversy.
I know.
Water cooler talk central. Everybody was talking about Bert and Ernie being gay.
Right.
Whether or not they were.
And to clarify, and we mentioned this yesterday, they were talking about this again, because this is a controversy that, for some reason, happens every couple of months or years. I don't know how it keeps happening, but it does.
The Sesame Workshop denied it immediately, saying, no, they're not gay. And then now this Saltzman guy is walking back his statement. Now he's saying, as a writer, you just bring what you know into your work.
This Agreed.
Is what he told the New York Times in a follow-up interview. Somehow in the uproar, that turned into Bert and Ernie being gay. There is a difference. He kind of insinuated that they were.
I guess he did.
They are two guys who love each other, Saltzman continued. That's who they are. So he is...
Do you think somebody from the Children's Television Workshop, somebody got to him?
Yes.
Who? Guy Smiley?
Yes.
Roosevelt Franklin? The Count? Who?
Or is that George Takei?
That's both George Takei and The Count.
According to the Washington Post, for nearly half a century, children have come to Sesame Street to laugh, play, and learn, and everyone's familiar with Bert and Ernie, the odd couple-esque roommates on the long-running series, and I am not paying a dollar to read the rest of the story.
You know who I bet threatened him? That Mana Mana guy.
Ba-bee-da-bee-dee.
That guy. He just came to his house and kept making that Mana Mana song until he goes, all right, I'll retract my statement.
That would make anyone crack. Sesame Street insists Bert and Ernie are not gay, but it is missing a teaching moment.
But again, as I pointed out yesterday, let us not forget that they're made of felt.
Well, the most important thing you pointed out.
They don't have any bottom halves.
Right.
Bert and Ernie, kids, if you're listening, just tune off for just a second. They're only from the waist up. So, regardless of any sexual orientation.
That's why John Lennon never invited him over.
Mana, mana.
All right, I'm going home.
Oh, really? You're going to take the high road?
For once, yes.
Do you remember the cover? I don't know why we didn't bring this up yesterday. I thought about this on the way home, and I wanted to rewind to come back to our topic yesterday of Bert and Ernie. Do you remember that this is the greatest magazine cover of all time? The New Yorker, when gay people all of a sudden, you know, they all of a sudden they're allowed to marry a couple of years ago, the New Yorker's cover was that a television showing that, but you could also see Bert and Ernie. Like from the back, you saw them from the back. It was like an over the shoulder shot.
Like they were watching the
television. They were watching it on television, and they were kind of cuddled up together. You know,
I don't recall seeing that.
It was honestly, like in the history of magazine covers, that was the absolute best because it said everything.
But it's not accurate because Sesame Street says they're not gay. You said they don't have bottom halves, so they're not gay.
Right. Everything you just said is true, but. Without saying it, it said it. You know, like it was up to your brain to put the pieces together, but you could tell it was Bert and Ernie because they have very distinctive tops of their heads. Like of everybody on the planet,
right?
If you only saw the top 1/8 of Bert's head and Ernie's head, you'd know it was their head.
It's not a comb over exactly.
Right. No.
Comb up.
Right.
That's what it is.
And I maintain, and if I'm wrong on this, I will fall on the shelf for this one, but I maintain that the character of Bert is based on Howard Sprague from The Andy Griffith Show. He sounds like him. He looks enough like him.
He does look like him without the mustache.
Yeah,
that's
without
the
mustache.
Thing. But boy, the eyebrows, the eyes, right? The voice is...
He looks
wow.
a lot like Howard Sprague to me.
Are there any writers from The Andy Griffith Show still alive?
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
I don't think so. But I didn't even... Oh, now I'm very sad. I didn't even think about that. But my guess is most, if not all of them, are no longer with us.
Because I would like to know. I don't care if Bert and Ernie are gay.
No, well, they're... I mean, this debate makes me laugh because they're puppets. Spoiler alert. But they are.
But so here's my question. You know, Sesame Street did not reveal. They're denying it. They say, no. They insist that they are not gay.
Right.
When we were little, I didn't even know what gay was.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
And so now that kids do know what it is, because there are a lot of kids that have two dads or two moms.
Right.
Maybe this is time for them to come out of the puppet.
Of the puppet closet?
Yeah. Well, I just think it could really...
I think there really is a puppet closet, by the way. I think that's where ventriloquists keep their puppets, so this is accurate.
Or a puppet drawer, come out of the drawer.
Right, when you're puppets. All right, so Sesame Street and the Children's Television Workshop, has over the years been really, really good at exposing kids to things that they're going to encounter in real life. I'll never forget when the character Mr. Hooper died. They quickly addressed that on the show because they said kids need to learn about this. This is really very important.
I remember that.
Right? And also remember the story about when Snuffleupagus, in the early days of Snuffleupagus, only Big Bird could see him. And then the writers over at Sesame Street realized this is a good teaching moment because we have to let kids know what is imaginary and what is real. And nobody believes Big Bird that this giant Snuffleupagus exists. So we need to address that. And they did, you know.
So then everyone could see him?
Yeah.
How did that address it?
Eventually, after like years of only Big Bird seeing him, other Sesame Street people saw him and all of a sudden believed Big Bird. And we always thought it was just in your imagination. And he goes, no, I told you, this is a guy. This is a real guy.
That teaches a kid that your imaginary friend, which I had too, Oreo Lekas and Leah Brand Schmidto.
Yes.
That all of a sudden, if you believe it hard enough, they will materialize.
Right.
That's not true.
How are they doing, by the way?
You know, I haven't talked to Oreo in a while, but Leah Brand Schmidto.
Stood up to your wedding, I remember.
Well, she was a backup in case somebody had to, you know, step down.
Right.
But yeah, Oreo Lekas, I don't know what's happened to him.
Oh, that's sad. Not on Facebook?
I'll never forget that. I was late
like
for something. I know, but that shows my creativity.
Eating too many cookies. Right. It does weird things to your insides.
I was late, and my mom said, well, why are you late? And I said I was hanging out with Carol, my friend Carol, who was real.
Yeah.
Her cousins, and my mom's like, oh, really? What are their names? And I said, well, there was Oreo Lekas and Leah Brand Schmidto, and I wasn't even in trouble because my mom laughed so hard.
Yeah, it
mom,
worked.
Mom, it wasn't me. It was the Oreo Lekas.
My brother's two imaginary friends were Johnny Motion, who did everything. He did everything in fast motion. Like, we'd be sitting down to dinner, and my brother's head would just whip from left to the right. And my mom would go, "What happened to you?" And he'd go, "Johnny Motion just came in and took some pork chops and left." And he had Johnny Motion, and then his brother Bobby Motion, he did everything in slow motion.
That is hysterical.
Johnny and Bobby Motion.
Maybe if you played with him more, he wouldn't have had these imaginary
friends. His head kept moving back and forth because of Johnny Motion. Because he would just walk through our house really, really quickly.
And what happened when Bobby Motion would walk
Whenever my brother was late slowly. For something, like my mom would go, "I called you 20 minutes ago." My brother would go, "Well, Bobby Motion came by and we were playing. And, you know, Bobby, it takes forever."
I love kids sometimes.
Because if it makes enough sense in your brain, you go, "I can sell this."
Right.
I'm so happy that I'm not nuts because I had one too.
Who was your imaginary friend?
Charlie Kubez.
Charlie Kubez? What was his story?
God, I thought I had taken the cake on the weird names, but you guys.
I have no idea. He was an old drunk man.
All right, that's weird that your imaginary friend is an old drunk man.
And I think he was real because I lived next to a bar. And I think this man was real, but I still think he's imaginary. And I used to talk to him all the time.
Oh, man.
I think you need to lay on our couch.
Well, you guys are just as bad now that I realize.
Not Bill. He's blaming his brother. You didn't have an imaginary friend. No, because you were ambidextrous and too smart to think.
My imaginary friend is Mary Vandeveld. So I don't know if that's real or not real anymore.
I had a lot of brothers and sisters. I don't know why I needed another one.
Charlie Kubez. Where did that name come from, Mary?
I have no idea.
Because that's a name like of a guy that would be exactly as you described, the guy in the neighborhood.
Might have been real. I'm going to Google him.
Wow, there's the business idea. Creating online profiles for imaginary friends.
Oh, this is, see?
Oh, it's right there.
Yeah. It's blasted into the 21st century.
Aureolicus is born.
Johnny Motion.
Yeah, they're all there. But type it really fast, Mary.
Right. Oh, that's right.
It's the only way to get through to Johnny Motion.
A Wikipedia for imaginary friends.
I think it's J-O-H-N-N-Y. Johnny Motion.
Like, I know.
Johnny Motion, poetry in motion.
Oh, a real thing?
There is a Johnny Motion. Yes.
Wow. My brother had it figured out somehow. All right.
He wasn't lying.
No, he wasn't kidding.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter. No imaginary newscaster here. It's Steve Bertrand, and he's coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Bill, have you ever had a little rock and roll hoochie-coo?
No.
Okay, because I was going to suggest you see a doctor about
that. No, I have not, luckily. Penicillin took care of that a long time ago, Wendy.
Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, roadtorock.org. Also on Facebook, Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. And Ron Romero is here. You're pretty much behind this, aren't you, Ron?
I'm behind it all the way.
Hang on. You're behind
There we are. Yes, I'm behind it all the way.
This is your baby.
Yeah, that was just an idea that I had along the way, and we built up. We've got... a nice group of board of directors that are really directing the ship here for us. So it's been...
Except for that one guy is pretty awful.
That one guy skipped something or
other. Skip Paris.
He's that the guy. Worst. Oof, the worst. Worst.
Bill, that you guy. Go way back with Skip,
I know
don't you?
Skip.
Oh, well. I'm sorry?
The guy who's next to you, that is Skip Paris.
Oh,
yeah. Hi, Skip Bill. And I did stand up together 1,000 times, right. Made a couple of movies together.
Yep. Yep.
Major League 1 and 2?
Major League 1 and 2.
Bill and I made huge stars out of, Charlie Sheen mm-hmm. and Tom Berenger. They were nobody.
Zeros.
Until they worked with us.
Right. Yep.
And
miracles happened.
You know, there's... of course, Charlie Sheen's character was Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah.
He had his own theme song. What is it?
Wild Thing.
Yes.
From 1966, More British Invasion, The Troggs. Wild thing, you make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Wild thing, wild thing, I think I love you.
Oh.
I wanna know for sure. Come on, hold me tight. I love you. You move me. I mean it. Wow.
wild thing.
You are so awesome.
Oh, thank you.
It's
thank
one you. Thing to do impressions, and it's one thing to sing, but you do these vocal impressions, and I can't even guess how many you do. It's got to be over 100 easily, right?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Probably in the 300s.
Oh, that's amazing.
If you count the McGuire sisters.
And
know,
I do.
That's my big bit, you know.
The Boogie Woogie Boogie Boy?
No, that the was Andrew the Andrews sisters.
Oh, I'm getting my sisters mixed
different
up.
Patty and Maxine.
Well, they inspired the McGuire sisters.
Yeah.
So you're,
what did they do?
The McGuire sisters?
Yeah. Nice stall tactic.
Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar at supper time.
Yep.
And
they were
pro-diabetes. Sincerely.
Boom.
Oh. And some others. Good stuff.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. Well, Ron, you're having, are you calling it a fundraiser?
Yeah. Well, it's actually, the fundraiser. It's our Rock and Raise fundraiser that's going to be on October 11th. It's going to be held at the Jacob Henry Mansion, downtown Joliet.
Nice place.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool
Very
place.
Very nice place.
But you need money to get this thing rolling.
Yes, we need, of course, we need money. So there's lots of ways. People can donate. You can come to the event and support us there. We're going to have some great auction items. There are a lot of autographed guitars and things like that for auction items there that night as well to raise money. And, you know, we've got ongoing efforts besides that event. It's, you know, it's 24/7 now. We're in this for good. So
when you came up with this idea, though, you knew that money would have to be raised. Did you know that it would be a nonstop 24 hours a day thing?
No, I thought we were going to, it was an idea. I thought we were going to open up the museum in a couple of weeks and, you know,
yeah,
it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Then we realized, you know, you have to raise money, you have to get building, you have to find a spot, you have to get, you know, permits, you have to do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So I'm learning, it's a great learning experience, and to be able to talk to a lot of my heroes, you know, from the music.
Who other than talk? Skip Kirkpatrick?
I mean, well, Skip
welcome,
is obviously
Ron.
my you know, my number one hero.
Who have you talked to that Skip. You never dreamt that you would be speaking to about this museum?
We had a call from management from Chicago some time ago, they called. I had a call recently from the drummer from Off-Broadway, if you remember Off-Broadway.
Oh, Stay in Time.
Yeah, Ken had called me up and said he had some drums to donate to the museum.
Look at that.
So that was really cool.
Again, yeah. This is the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. It's on Route 66. Two things tied into one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great that we're able to do that and kind of tie both things in.
Did you go to the one in Cleveland just for ideas and see what they're doing right and what they're not doing right?
So the ideas that it came from, that was the first place I went to, was Cleveland, of course. Great museum. I love the museum.
Yeah.
Then we went to Nashville and went to some of the museums there and saw how the city worked together to make, you know, bring people in and keep people there because there's a lot of museums to do there. And then finally, the last one was Rick Nielsen had a museum in Rockford back in 2015, I think it was. It was short-lived, I think eight months. Is by design, it was intended to be a short-lived. He wants to package it and do some things. And that was kind of the one that sent me over to do this. And since then, we've been meeting with Rick Nielsen's partner in that museum. Graham Spencer is the name of the company, and they're going to be working with us to design our museum as well.
That's
so
excellent.
We're excited about it.
When do you plan to open this baby?
2019. We wanted to open it like a long time ago, but yeah. As I said, we got a lot of things to learn and a lot of things that we've got to acquire artifacts. We've got to, you know, do build out and building and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of work to it.
In the past, Ron, anytime we try to open a museum here in town, the Friends of the Park puts a stop on it. Why are they being so nice to you?
We're not directly in Chicago.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think
right.
so.
Good choice.
All right, so this fundraiser that's going on October 11th, the Jacob Henry Mansion Estate, it's 20 Southeastern Avenue in Joliet. You can get your tickets at roadtorock.org/events. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly.
Skip Gurparis will be performing.
Yes, I'll be starting at 6:00. So you got to get there early, and you got to buy a VIP ticket. So I hope to see folks turn out early.
All McGuire sister songs, Skip, or will you mix it up?
The first set.
Yeah, the first set
all McGuire.
Just one of the sisters, actually, not all
yeah.
three.
Well, oh, good, good.
Yeah, but, we actually have. There's going to be two pieces to that night. One is a VIP where Skip's going to be in. Doing part of his show from the Heroes
of Rock
show.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then the other general admission room is Ronnie Rice. He's going to be on the main stage there.
Mm-hmm.
And rumor has it there's going to be an opening band for him called
Acoustic Avenue featuring some guy named Ron Romero.
Yeah.
So
it's our acoustic band that's
going to
perform. So
yeah.
that's another perk, I guess. You know, we get to put ourselves in with all our heroes.
The Giants.
Ronnie Rice, New Colony 6?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I will always think about
you. Yeah, I love that song. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Well, you know, I took Ronnie's place in the New Colony 6 in 1972. And, you know, New Colony 6 was the first Chicago rock band to have a hit record. Maybe you remember? I confess to have a willingness and wanting for you. To have you here by me, all my life through. Now, I would eventually get to write and sing our final two singles. Now, we mentioned this last time. I'll just give you a little taste of this. You have to believe in someone sometime. I hope you feel that person is me. For I love and care for you all our lifetime. Put a little faith in me. And then I'd get to sing that wonderful hit from Ronnie, the talented guy I replaced. My now chubby buddy, Ronnie Rice, you know? And, of course, Ronnie left the band to go eat. And,
oh, my God.
And I love doing...
You didn't do a puffed rice joke. I'm shocked.
Well,
you didn't do a puffed rice
still,
joke.
Still got a few minutes
all
left.
Right, all right.
But here's one of Ronnie's great tunes. I will always think about you. Even if I live without you, please don't let that ever happen. I have too much love within me for you.
For you,
baby, it's true.
For you,
baby.
Ah, so nice.
What a
great
song.
Great song.
Ron, you get an assist on that,
thank
by
you.
The way.
Thank you very much.
If you're scoring at home, Ron gets
goosebumps.
An assist.
Yep. That's Bill's right, Skip. You do such a good job. You're funny, but you're also super talented and can sing these tunes.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you guys started drinking early here because it makes me sound really good.
Well, I'll pay you the ultimate compliment. Of all the guys I worked with, I did stand-up for 10 years. Everybody had a bad show. Everyone I ever worked with had a bad show or two or three, except for you. I never saw you have a bad show ever.
Thank you. Well, I would just give my all, you know, and in the early days, in the early days when you could smoke in Zanies, oh my, that was awful. you know, it's a small, kind of a small, narrow place, and the chairs go right up to the stage, and all the smokers would be right there, and they'd sit there and blow the smoke right at my face, and there's no circulation back there.
Right.
I don't know how I survived, but still, it was a great place, great memories, and working with Bill. I've mentioned my favorite Bill joke concerning a certain Karen Carpenter, but we don't want to. We shouldn't go into that again.
Very timely.
Yeah, right.
If I was doing stand-up today, I'd open with that. All right, let's take a quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I love rock and roll. I know Joan Jett might have said it before me,
but
you were the first, Wendy.
Illinois she Rock and Roll Museum, and in the studio with us, we have Ron Romero, the Board of Directors Chairman and Creator of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, and Skip Gripiris, or Skip Gripiris.
You're not the first. That was one of the great things about Zany, to see how they were going to pronounce my name. Michael Alexander one night opened for me all week, said it differently every show. Yeah.
Variety.
So I got that going for
me. That's excellent. Skip, who was it in your family? Was it your grandmother who didn't call you Skip but called you Skeeps?
No, called me George.
Oh.
Because Skip is not a Greek name.
Oh, right.
So I had
to
call my birth name George.
Yeah.
And I never learned Greek, so she was always, George, why you no learn it Greek? I blame it your mother.
So where'd Skip come from?
My dad's dad ran away from Greece when he was like 16 and joined the Argentine Navy.
Oh.
So from skipper of the ship became...
He skipped that on the family.
He skipped it on, yeah. So I got it. Whatever.
You're lucky you guys are friends.
That's why really we're friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I was the one who explained Skip's nickname to him.
Thank you.
He didn't understand it.
No.
We're talking about the fundraiser. And what else do we need to know? October 11th.
October 11th. It's going to be at the Jacob Henry Mansion. All sorts of things going on. Like I said, the auction items, performances by Skip, and of course, Ronnie Rice. And before I forget...
Mm-hmm.
your very own shirts
what?
For you guys.
All right, these
Illinois
are pretty
Rock and
cool.
Roll Museum. I brought three in for you.
Very so cool.
That's all right, for you. And Jasmine, just, there's one here for you, too.
The logo looks like the Route 66 road sign, but it's actually a guitar.
A guitar,
it's
yeah.
Both. That's super cool,
it's,
yeah.
It's two things in one.
I enjoy yeah. that.
It's a t-shirt and a road sign, Skip? Is that what you're
yeah,
talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. Yes.
That's a rare combination.
You want to do something with Ron and I?
Yeah,
on the way
please.
Out here?
What do you got?
Ron?
I have no idea.
Oh, we'll find out.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman, I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you.
Mercy.
Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman,
could help but see. Pretty. Where are you, Ron?
I'm lost, man.
It's
I can't
early,
find my heart.
Too early in the morning. Okay. We gave it a shot.
That's funny.
All right. Well, how about this?
All right.
Jackie Wilson.
Your love lifted me higher than I've ever been lifted before. So keep it up. Quench my desire. I'll be at your side.
Man,
how about
nice falsetto.
That?
You're
you
good.
That. I always say, Skip, at some point, he won't be able to hit the high notes, but you keep hitting those high
yeah,
notes.
Yeah, I don't know how that
so
happens.
So good.
Thank you so much.
Where can our listeners get T-shirts? Is it available on the website?
Website, are they roadtorock.org. You can find out about donations. You can find out about our mission, what we're doing, not only preserving Illinois music history, but we're giving back to the communities by helping some of the students with a focus on kids who are disadvantaged to bring music programs to them as well. You can go there to roadtorock.org, find out all sorts of information. Of course, we're on Facebook as well. There's like 11,500 likes on there now, which we're excited about from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about that.
I want in on the grand opening.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Skip's McGuire's fan page is also up and running. I was just on that for the McGuire sisters. Skip, you did
oh,
a great Skip job McGuire. With that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks
Boy, they
for
do say
that.
Your name differently a lot. Yep. Skip McGuire now,
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yep.
I'm used to it.
Thank you, guys. Good to see
hey,
both of
you. Thanks
for
having us.
Thanks for having us.
Being up here.
Thank
thanks
you.
For the t-shirts.
Beautiful yep. place here, by the way.
Oh,
we like
if
this.
You folks listening, the view here is unbelievable.
Yeah. We appreciate you doing this for us and getting this place for us. When
yeah, we did this for you.
And I'm talking about just looking at Wendy.
Forget about that. Good moment. Thank you so much.
A quick break, some news, more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
Even if you don't love films, Dean's your guy.
I think so.
Even if you hate films.
Right. Even if you think films are the worst thing that's ever happened to our world.
Right. Sent by the devil.
Yes, the devil himself.
Sent by Beelzebub himself.
Right.
Dean.
Dean, I have to ask you a question. Have you ever interviewed Chevy Chase?
I never have, thank goodness.
All right. Well, you say
you may get to now. He's looking for something to do.
He wants to talk to somebody.
He's not going to get a job on Saturday Night Live.
No, I don't think he is. Explain away. He said some very disparaging things about his former TV show,
yeah,
didn't
the
he?
Place that made him famous. He, in an interview yesterday, somebody, I guess I've done this a million times, too, with former cast members. What do you think of the new SNL? What do you think of the current cast? And everyone is usually polite enough to, you know, give kind of a nice answer, or at least non-committal answer, even if they don't like it. But Chevy Chase said that he hates the current cast, that he doesn't think what they're doing now is funny, that it's the worst kind of comedy that there could possibly be. He doesn't like the current cast at all, and said that he hasn't been fond of past casts as well, and pointed out two in particular, Will Ferrell and Tina Fey. What have they done in their life? Hmm. What have they accomplished?
Hmm. That's so strange. And what do you think is behind that? I've seen him
jealousy.
Do this before. Is it jealousy?
That's
is
what
it?
I think.
Yeah?
Somebody suggested to me that he may have been joking. I don't think so. I don't get the sense that he is. I think that it's like jealousy, sour grapes. You know,
just his personality is like that.
I don't know why anybody would just go out of their way to be so mean.
You know, one of my friends from college ran the show Community for years, and I asked him one time, I go, what's that like working with Chevy Chase? And he just stared at me. Mm. No words came. He just stared at me. And I go, that must be kind of fun working with him, right? And he goes, I haven't experienced any of that yet.
Wasn't he asked to leave the show?
Yes. Dan Hartman, the other guy who created the show, at some point had a fight with him, and yeah, they had to leave. Yeah.
So I think I've heard that he's can be a little bit cantankerous to deal with. That he can be a little bit of a handful.
Did you hear the story about him and Bill Murray? This is years and years and years ago. After Chevy Chase left, and essentially Bill Murray replaced him in the cast,
and before like overshadowed him completely.
Overshadowed him. And they had a fist fight right before airtime one night.
I'd heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bushel of crazy going on there.
Very strange.
of crazy. I like that.
The other thing I wanted to ask you was...
I try to keep things autumnal.
Yeah, you're good.
It's a horn of plenty of crazy.
It is, isn't it? Roseanne, who's still in the news, may have given away how her character is no longer on the show.
Was it the knee surgery I suggested?
Not directly, kind of in an indirect way.
See, I've been tiptoeing around this all week.
I don't want to say.
It's
do you?
A great story, but I don't. If what they're saying is true, I don't want to, you know, be the one to.
Well, how'd you guys find out about it?
It's all over the internet.
Chevy Chase
then
told me.
Tell people.
He called me.
Tell people to cover their ears.
You watch Roseanne. I'm trying to spoil this for as many people as possible.
Are you either of you going to watch it? Because I am going
I am
to watch
it.
And
I'm
you
watch it.
Is it going to ruin it for you now that you know, Bill?
I kind of wish I didn't know, all but right. Then I also think she may have just been feeding us false information, maybe.
I would believe
well,
that.
Didn't the information come from someplace other than her as well?
Well, John Goodman at some point had said, they asked how his character Dan Connor would be, and he goes, well, how do you think he is? His wife just died. Yeah. And everybody goes, oh, we didn't know she was going to die, but
yes,
I guess
we
now
did.
We do. Well, at that point, they had the option, kind of, didn't they, of just writing her off, leaving them? Maybe the
that
family was too much for
happened.
Her.
Right.
I heard that Dick Sargent was going to take
Dick
over.
Dick Sargent?
Oh,
as
boy.
The new Roseanne.
Best name ever.
Right.
Wendy.
Right. All right. So you say, Dean, and again, we will not give away Roseanne's explanation for her character no longer being on the show, but you say that's probably the way that they'll play it, right?
It seems, we know that she's going to die.
Yeah,
that was given away by John Goodman.
Yeah,
but the manner in which
you can say it, I just went to look it up.
Could happen. It seems like a very likely scenario and a timely one. One that's topical and in the news and all that.
But then, do you think they'll address it more than just that first episode back? Will that be a storyline that continues throughout the season? Or
I don't
what
know
do you
how
think?
They can't not reference it from certainly from time to time.
Yeah.
In dealing with the death of a family member,
right,
on that show, and as much of an influence as she had on all the other characters. You know, others are going to have to react. Well, you know, your mom would have done this, or, you know, this would have happened.
Right.
If Roseanne was still here.
I don't like the way that she said that.
You
Roseanne's
just looked it up online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe her.
Yeah, she may be feeding us false. There's a chance that it's false information.
Maybe. Or maybe she's trying to spoil it.
Oh,
she doesn't want the spinoff to be as impactful.
Oh. That's mean. She's the queen of mean now.
She's
again.
The queen of mean. Yeah. Yep, she's the new queen of mean. All right, we'll take
it. All right, I'm going to tell what it is.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
She gets all the kids, and they climb a mountain singing climber.
Sound of music?
They go to a convent,
yeah.
And they can't use the car, and they climb a mountain singing a song ironically called Climb Every Mountain.
Do they ford a stream? Is it ford?
They ford every stream.
Search.
Because that was the car that didn't work.
Every rainbow. Yeah, right.
Until you find your dream.
Well, now everybody knows.
Yeah. Well, we sang that name.
It's Rodgers and Hammerstein's Roseanne coming soon.
I would watch that that'd be great. In a second.
That'd be so good. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Dean will talk about the new movies coming out this weekend.
As you live.
Stay tuned for that. It's Bill and Wendy and Dean Richards on WGN. Dean Richards is our guest, entertainment reporter for WGN TV. And let's start out with House with a Clock in Its Walls. That's with Jack Black, right, Dean?
Are you familiar with this book series at all?
I'm not.
Wendy might be.
I don't.
For the kids?
Uh-uh.
This would be right about there when they were a little very popular book series that was out like 10, 12 years ago. Something.
It has a Lemony Snicket flavor to it,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. Very Lemony Snicket. Very almost a little Beetlejuicy.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a little Harry Potter like it is. The story of a young boy whose parents are killed in an automobile accident.
That's a great kid's story, let me tell you.
They all lived happily ever after.
Right, right.
Well, you know, really, what I said about this movie when I walked out of it was, not when I walked out because I didn't like it when it was over, when it was over and I left, that it reminded me of old-fashioned kids movies that, you know, didn't coddle kids and, you know, wasn't so worried about being politically correct on every measure, that there were some sad and scary things that happened. And there are things like that in this movie, starting off with the young kid Lewis's parents who get killed in a car crash. He's sent to live with his very eccentric uncle in a creepy old house. He gets there to learn that his uncle is a warlock. And he is living with his friend, who's played by Kate Blanchett, who is a witch, a good, friendly witch. And this house is just filled with supernatural activity and crazy, you know, wall hangings and furniture that moves and talks. Really kind of cute and fun. But there is evil lurking here because a curse had been set. To turn the house is also full of clocks, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and there is a constant ticking within the walls that nobody can find. A clock has been sent there, part of this evil curse, to turn back time on the Earth that would erase everything that's happened, to reset Earth right back to its beginning in order to get rid of all the evil. So
I wish we could do that in real life.
Uncle Warlock and his friend the witch and the little boy have to try to fight this and find a way to save the day. And there are some moments that are really a little bit scary. Little kids might be a little scared at this movie, but it's like, as I say, it's like an old-fashioned kind of sci-fi movie. The movies that we already mentioned are good examples of kind of the feel and flavor of this movie. But Jack Black is perfect in this. Kate Blanchett is perfect in this. The kids that are featured in the movie are also quite great. I like this movie. I wound up giving it a Dean's List B.
Oh, very nice.
Sounds good. Stupid title, though. I got to tell you, The House with a Clock in Its Walls.
That's the. I think that's the book title,
I know,
directly, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I should have thought harder on that.
Life Itself is from the creator of This Is Us, and it kind of has some undertones. It reminds me of This Is Us a little bit.
It's very This Is Us like in that there's one twist after another and things that you don't see coming at all. It's hard for me to explain this movie without giving things like really crucial, important things away. So I'm going to have to be a little bit evasive about it. But it's the story of two generations of families on different continents that are going through joyful things in their lives and horribly sad and tragic things in their lives. It seems like all these people are completely separated and have no connection. But in this very This Is Us sort of way, and the creator of all that, Dan Fogelman, these stories very cleverly intertwine. But it's complex. It's a maze of stories. I mean, you really have to stay with the story in order to understand the relationships between two generations of families that are set through flashbacks and narrations to help you understand it and walk through it. It's a very interesting story. I mean, the movie is called Life Itself, And it really is just slice of life. That's really what I can tell you best to describe.
Will it make me cry?
This movie's life. It
Everything
is
makes
definitely,
you cry.
It is definitely going to make you cry.
Oh, good.
Roger Ebert's movie was also called Life Itself.
It sure was.
That's what kind of confused me when this came out.
Yep. But this is, it's not a perfect movie. As I say, it's more complex than it needs to be.
But life isn't perfect, Dean.
But life isn't perfect.
No. Nope.
And that's sort of, I mean, this movie, the reviews on this movie, it's really getting completely trashed. And I didn't feel that way, anything about it at all. I like a nice emotional movie. I like something that makes you think and, you know, kind of reflect on life and so forth. And this one very definitely does that. My only problem with it, it's just a little more, the storytelling was a little more complex than it needed to be. They got a little over clever in the complexity department. You know what it is? They gave me a boatload of complexity.
Yep.
A horn of plenty of complexity.
That's too much complexity.
That's too much.
What
complexity
was your Dean's List on?
I gave this a Dean's List C.
C. Okay. Let's go. There's two different documentaries. Both look very interesting. Michael Moore's new movie, Fahrenheit.
Michael Moore's new movie is one of his last documentaries was Fahrenheit 9/11. That was about George W. Bush and his criticism of George W. Bush and everything that was going on with the war at that time. This one is called Fahrenheit 11/9. That is an examination of the first year and a half of the Donald Trump years. Depending on how you feel politically, probably is going to depend on whether or not you like this movie or not.
Sure.
I think I'll just leave it at only because I don't have all day to answer hate mail.
Yeah.
And tell you what I think of the movie. What do you think it's going to be? Michael Moore, telling us what he thinks of Donald Trump in a very Michael Moore sort of way. So, you know, if you don't like Michael Moore and you don't want to hear any criticism of Donald Trump, don't go see this movie. It's a well-done documentary, you know, just as it's constructed and so forth. And I'll leave it to everybody to make up their own minds about what they think about the content of it all. Another documentary that's worth seeing this weekend is called Love, Gilda. And it is about the wonderful and lovely and talented Gilda Radner. And it's a documentary about her life and her story. And this is, I think, very beautiful, and a lovely love story and a, you know, sad story of that somebody who was so talented and seemingly so lovely and caring about others, you know, just like Chevy Chase,
right,
die so young. So those are in, you know, select theaters around the area, and you can find those, and you can check those out. I also wanted to mention that the Music Box Theater's 70mm Film Festival is beginning this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and they're taking some classic movies. They set up a special screen that can accommodate 70mm films, which gives you, you know, next to an IMAX theater is an IMAX screen is about the biggest venue in which to watch a movie. And in many cases, this size screen was how some films were intended to be seen, like Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that on a big screen. I've only seen that on television, I think. So to see that on 70mm would be super cool. Back to the Future, Indiana Jones. They've got a whole list of movies that they're going to be showing now through September 27th at the Music Box on North Southport.
Perfect.
Fun.
Yep. Dean, we appreciate it as always and hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Likewise. We'll see you soon, guys.
That's Dean Richards, Dean. Everybody. We'll take a quick break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. Come with us. The stream is a lot of fun. It's very safe now, too. Or stick around here and listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.